It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, we started the week with a Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award winner in David Auburn, and we end the week with another amazing artist who's won a Pulitzer and a slew of Tony Awards, Steppenwolf Ensemble member Tracy Letts. Letts' new play, Linda Vista, is having its world premiere at the Steppenwolf. Previews start Thursday, and the show runs through May 21st. The show's about a 50-year-old man named Wheeler who has to start over, start fresh, and explores the dilemma of who you've become versus who you want to be. Letts is one of Chicago's most accomplished theater artists. He's won Tonys for his outstanding work in August Osage County, and he's also won for his outstanding acting, playing George in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf back in 2013. Letts has written about 10 plays, which include The Minutes, which will reunite him with August Osage County director Anna Shapiro, and is already penciled in for a Broadway run in 2018. The star of stage and screen just wrapped up a part in HBO show Divorce, and he's playing opposite Deborah Winger in the highly anticipated movie The Lovers out this May. Tracy Letts is my guest tonight at the big table. Mr. Letts, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So this play, how important is it for you to have the world premiere in Chicago?
Oh, it's huge for me. One of the reasons I live here is not only because of our amazing theater community, but I'm a member of the Steppenwolf Theater Company, and I have a great group of artists, not only in our ensemble, but just great Chicago theater actors to choose from. And I love starting a play here. There's no place better to start a play, as far as I'm concerned.
What is it about Chicago? I mean, obviously, being a part of Steppenwolf is advantageous in the way that you guys are an ensemble and you've been able to put together such great work. But what is it about putting a premiere together and putting a play together at all when you talk about the process and the experience of putting it on in Chicago?
First and foremost, really, it's Chicago theater audiences. They're game for anything, and they love new work. You know, if we do too many revivals at Steppenwolf, we'll hear about it from our subscribers.
Really?
They actually like the new plays. It's not just the case at our theater. It's true of theaters around town. Theater audiences in this town are very adventuresome, and they love new work, and they are willing to gamble, because you never know what you're going to get with a new play, right? It could just be a disaster, but they're willing to take that risk, because when you see something new that works, that's a really exciting moment.
Are you a theater artist who loves the process as a playwright? Do you love the process of the rehearsals and the state and the, you know, the last sort of dress rehearsals, things of that like that?
Oh, I love it. It's the place where I'm absolutely the most comfortable, being in a rehearsal room and seeing it all come together. And the way we collaborate in the theater, particularly in Chicago theater, everybody chips in. Everybody's got a voice. Best idea wins. A lot of great minds in the room. When I'm working at Steppenwolf, I have a lot of support around me, not only from actors who are very experienced at putting new work up, but great directors, designers, not to mention just even our staff at Steppenwolf. We have a lot of really good minds at work. So, and you know, I think also Chicago, you know, it doesn't value pretension. You're just not going to get away with a lot of pretentious work in this town, and it keeps you honest, in a sense, as a playwright.
Well, you're very fortunate to have an ensemble around. I mean, the way that Steppenwolf works, because, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about this with David Auburn as well, that the more success you have as a playwright, when you need to have the right people around you to say, this isn't that great, Tracy, this is, or this scene needs to be reworked. And you can trust and respect the people around you because you've worked with them in the past, and they're not sort of, you know, jumping into last minute after you've won Tony's and be like, bravo, yeah, bravo. They're real with you.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you can see in another process where it becomes a real problem, where somebody's surrounded by yes men who are telling them it's great when it's not great. I really value the people who tell me it's not great, and can articulate why. I'm really lucky. I'm very lucky in that regard.
Playwright and actor Tracy Letts in studio with us. His new play, Linda Vista, opens the previews run next week, starting Thursday. It's open and running through May 21st. Let's talk about the play. Wheeler, I kind of mentioned at the top, you kind of squirmed a little bit at my sort of really quick one-sentence synopsis of your play.
It's always hard to boil things down to just a sentence or a line or something catchy to get people into the theater. I mean, he's a He's a divorced, middle-aged guy. He's been living in his wife's garage for a couple of years. It's a bad divorce. And now he's finally got his own apartment. And he starts trying to find a successful relationship with a woman. That's the jumping-off point. And it's a comedy. It's 2.5 hours. I don't know what else to tell you.
That's it, right?
It's a good time.
How much of a character like Wheeler embodies you as a writer? As you put this together, and you know, I've read the interviews about some of your other plays, and even August, Osage County, and the dysfunction of families, right. And where you grew up in Oklahoma, and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel where does a play like this come from? A guy who's close in age to your age, and
right.
And do you write a character with you in mind?
Well, I mean, I'm the place. I'm the one I start with, and then I let my imagination take over from there. But in the case of Wheeler, he's 50 years old. I'm 51. He's a white guy living in America in 2017.
Sure.
He happens to be a pretty opinionated guy. We have some things in common, me and this guy. He also exhibits a lot of bad behavior. Some of it is bad behavior I hope I've grown out of, but it's certainly stuff I'm guilty of in my life. And so that's one of the reasons you write, to address those things in yourself,
right?
To address some of the flaws you have. And if you can be honest with yourself and expose some of those things, it's actually it's a really good feeling to get all that. You know, I take a look at this guy and he drives me kind of crazy watching this guy. I'm like, well, I can see why he's driving me crazy. I recognize it.
Right. You know, for you, the line of, you know, of who you are versus who you want to be, and this concept of restarting when you're 50 years old. I mean, that's something when you talk about, you know, reflection or looking inward to see what you've accomplished in your life, what you wish that you accomplished in your life. I mean, these are threads and trends that are relatable to everyone who's going to sit in those audiences.
Yeah.
Is that by design?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he embodies something that I see in some of my friends, a feeling of being stuck, unable to move off of a certain point and get on with the next phase of your life. You know, it's more obvious in some friends of mine, but the fact of the matter is we all deal with that. We're always
right.
Trying to get ourselves unstuck and off that spot where we've stranded ourselves for a while. And particularly if circumstances like a divorce or, you know, he's got a teenage kid who he's having a hard time relating to. As those things start to pile up, moving past that stuck point can become a real problem.
And I mean, that's the real treasure of the theater in the way that you can write a play and really take 2.5 hours to break down that concept and really make people think about their own lives by watching Wheeler on stage trying to figure out his.
Yeah. You know, even as we've done this thing just for staff and designers, I've already had a number of men come up to me and admit to me, I recognize that guy. I recognize that behavior. It can be kind of embarrassing, actually, a little painful.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. You know, you said in one interview, and it's interesting about, you know, opinions and being opinionated. You have this voice. You have this platform in the theater to do this. I mean, you're not a guy who spouts off on Twitter about what's happening in politics or, you know, or has an opinion about the latest, you know, issue in America. You save it for the stage. You save it to be your voice on stage. Why is that?
Well, I mean, for one thing, I've got the platform. I get to put up a play at Steppenwolf Theater. I get to write 2.5 hours and actually expect an audience to sit there and listen to what I have to say for 2.5 hours. It's quite an expectation. Mm-hmm. It would be a little unseemly to ask them, oh, in addition to that, also read my daily thoughts and musings on my meal or politics or the last bad movie I saw.
But there's something to be said. I'd love to know what you're eating for breakfast. You know, like a Tracy Letts Twitter account would be a fun thing to pay attention
to.
Yeah,
I keep threatening to do it. My wife tells me, she encourages me to do it, and I'm just like, you know, it would drive me crazy. You know, I would just get
mad. Tracy Letts is my guest tonight. He's the award-winning playwright and actor. His new show, Linda Vista, directed by Dexter Bullard, is at Steppenwolf. Previews begin next Thursday and run through May 21st. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, get the news from Rob, and we'll continue our conversation with Tracy Letts here on The Download. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio tonight, the big table, Tracy Letts, the Pulitzer Prize-winning, Tony Award-winning playwright, actor. He's got a new show, Linda Vista, which is making its world premiere at the Steppenwolf. Previews next Thursday, runs through May 21st. He's my guest tonight. You know, as we talk about Linda Vista, you talk also about The Minutes, which is the next play, which is already penciled in for Broadway. How does that work? I mean, the concept that you're already aware that, that project is going to go to the next step, because I think a lot of people who pay attention to theater, even, you know, on the peripheral, will be like, oh, it has to do well to go to Broadway.
I don't know how it happened. I wrote the play. I didn't even email it out. I went to the theater and made some copies of it and handed it around to a few people. And a couple of days later, I was in Sardi's meeting with a New York producer. Talking. I mean, it's not the way it normally goes. So I don't know how it happened. It just came together very quickly.
That's not the blood, sweat, and tears story that we want to hear from the playwright. Climbed up. I was trying so many rehearsals, and we got there. We finally got there.
No,
you just use a copy machine. You got to play. That's great. Well, I mean, for you, I mean, take us to the experience of having your work on the Broadway stage. I mean, for you to be a Chicagoan, an ensemble member at Steppenwolf, to have success with even your earliest work, and of course, August, Osage County. Talk about what that's like for you as an artist to have your work, critically acclaimed here in Chicago, but to then move to the next level.
Totally unexpected is what it was like. I mean, we put up August, Osage County 10 years ago this summer, actually. It was in 2007, and my agent, who lives in New York, came to see the show, and we went out afterward to talk about the play, and the first thing he said was, that's a Broadway show. And I thought he was insane. I said, no, it's not. It's 3.5 hours long. It's three acts. It's got 13 actors in it. There's no way it's a Broadway show. Well, he was right. I was wrong. It was totally unexpected for me. It's great. It's the greatest thing. When you're part of Broadway, you feel like there's a kind of festival atmosphere because there just aren't that many theater, you know, maybe 30 theaters and maybe only 5 or 10 straight plays, non-musicals,
right,
on Broadway. And so it's a lot of fun to be able to share your work with not just the New York audience, but the tourist audience that's coming in there. It's a lot of fun.
The collaborative experience that you talked about at the beginning about Chicago, does that remain when you take it to Broadway? Do you find the same sort of collaborative spirit taking place on stages there?
Well, it's been the same for me because I've been able to take it with me. You know, we took our original cast from August.
Which is not usual. And that's highly unusual.
Right. And we took our original cast from Superior Donuts as well. And then the two shows I've acted in on Broadway, one was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and our cast was intact from that. And another one kind of got remade on the road. But I've been able to keep that ensemble spirit with me. Not a lot of star vehicles. But again, that's one of the great things about Chicago theater. We don't – there are economic reasons for it. We don't have a star system in this city. New York does. You know, New York values a star. They always have, and they always will. It's part of the deal. And if you can put Tom Hanks or Al Pacino in your show, you're going to sell a lot of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Here we do something different. We create a different kind of experience. And so to be able to take that work from Chicago and feel like an ambassador from this city exhibiting our work in New York, it's been fantastic.
You know, you've mentioned your life in the way that you've been on Broadway both as a playwright and an actor. You talk about that relationship you have in the skill set that you've developed to be able to write plays and to act in plays. There's not a lot of times you see that sort of combination. Where does that come from, and how does one work off the other?
Man, I've always done both since I was a teenager. My careers have often been on parallel tracks. I've never mixed the two. I've never been interested in writing stuff for me to act in or acting in stuff that I've written. It's just never been I don't think I'd do either job as well if I were trying to do both at the same time. And I've just been really lucky that I've been able to do them and to do them on Broadway and stuff like that. I'm sure they do inform each other. I mean, I'm sure that just all the time I've spent in rehearsal rooms and on stages in my life, I think that probably the language of theater, the rhythm of theater, something about it is just...
You can learn from yourself.
It's part of my cellular makeup now. It's just who I am. I get what the rhythm of that is. And so I think sometimes it is a little easier for me to write for an actor because I'm out there as an actor myself and I know the stuff that's fun for an actor to do. And sometimes I think as an actor... I'm reminded of those moments that I'm sitting in the audience as a writer, as a playwright, pulling my hair out because the actors won't just get to the point. Right. So when I'm on stage,
well, that's
as the
good.
Actor,
yeah,
like okay, maybe I'll just get
you
to the point.
The other side of you can be critical of the other. That's good, right?
Right.
In the moment, you know, for you, I mean, it goes beyond the stage. I mean, as an actor, you find yourself in Homeland or Divorce or in the movie coming up here, The Lovers. I mean, talk about that experience because that's a different kind of acting. I mean, it's not a given that because you're a successful actor on the stage in front of an audience interacting on a given night that you're a natural for a different type of show without an audience in the room where you're just, you know, doing your lines to a camera.
Yeah, no, I would say I'm definitely not a natural at that. In fact, I mean, I've acted on stages my whole life, but I've not done a lot of film and TV work until a few years ago. It was when I did Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf on Broadway, and Alex Gonza, the creator of Homeland, saw the show and called me and asked me to play that part on Homeland. And I actually turned him down at first because I had read the script and it was just... It was a big committee meeting, and it was a jerk in a three-piece suit. I thought, I don't want to be this guy. But Alex was he's a very smart man, and he's got a very smart television show, and he called and explained what he wanted to do with the character, and there was a longer view, and I always admired the way the show kept, you know, it's a spy show on TV, but it also keeps one foot in the real world, and I really appreciated that about it. So I'm so glad I did it. It was a great experience. They're all great people, and I learned so much. I learned so much about acting for the camera, being able to be a series regular on Homeland, just going in day after day.
Do you feel, you know, as an actor and a writer who, you know, every single play that you do, you already talked about how you love the process and you love growing and trying. So you're such diverse in your canon of work. Do you, when you have a role like the role you had in Homeland, and the experience of doing something different with your acting expertise, do you want to do it more? Do you say to yourself, I want to try this again. I want to push it a little bit further. I want to try something that I've not tried before.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the great things about this coming at this time in my life, in my 50s, that I'm suddenly able to do this work on camera, is that it scares the hell out of me. I love being able to do something that's so scary. And it's a new skill to learn. You know, being able to work on Homeland with Claire Danes and Mandy, I mean, they have very different ways of working. They're both great actors. And to be able to just observe them. You know, also, there's a lot of value in having the gig. You know, you're not just a day player who's thrown out there for one day, expected to deliver and then go away. It's like, oh, no, I've got the gig. I'm not only on this episode, I'm going to be on the next episode. So I can relax a little bit. I can just relax and get to know people, start to learn names and people in the hair and makeup trailer, and ask Claire and Mandy questions about the way they're working, very different ways of working, and get to sit there and observe them day in and day out. It's a great, great way to learn it.
Tracy Letts, my guest in studio. He's a playwright and actor. Linda Vista is on stage starting next week at the Steppenwolf. Runs through May 21st. You know, before we wrap up, a lot of your career has been about adapting your work to film. August, Osage County, Killer Joe, even in a way, Superior Donuts to TV. Talk about that process. I mean, that's a process that is different. I mean, I would assume that that's a little less collaborative moving into a different medium. Has that been a smooth transition for you to be able to take the words to stage and transfer them to a different medium?
There's nothing smooth about that. There's nothing smooth about it. It's not natural to take something that was written for the stage and to put it on TV or on film. It's a very unnatural thing to do. And of course, the hierarchy in film and TV is so much different than the theater. The play, the writer is so much further down on the list. So it's not natural at all. Having said that, I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma, and I would not have had access to things like Streetcar Named Desire or Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf were it not for the movies. And so, I when I do that, I think about some kid in some small town somewhere who might like access to something like Killer Joe or Bug or August, that it might speak to them, but they're not going to get a chance to see it on stage. And so that's why it has value for me. Even something like Superior Donuts, which, you know, I don't actually have anything to do with. I didn't make the TV show, but, you know, that Superior Donuts has a real sweet spirit about it. And I'm glad that people elsewhere in the country are getting a chance to experience some flavor of that.
This is a new chapter for Tracy Letts, in the way that some of your characters and your storylines and your plays are just bought outright to say, hey, we like that process. We want to make this a sitcom. Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with a CBS sitcom being called Superior Donuts? People going, oh, that's Tracy Letts. And it's Judd Hirsch and it's actors and people doing sitcom-y type things with the dark and stormy playwright that we love so much, Tracy Letts.
Well, clearly I am comfortable with it, because you can watch it on CBS on Monday nights. I tried to turn Superior Donuts into a sitcom after I thought, you know, there's nothing wrong with the form of a sitcom. I thought, I'll try and do it myself. And I spent some time, I had it set up at a couple of different networks. I wrote different versions of the pilot, and I can't write that way. I can't write in the way modern sitcoms are written. But a guy I had been working with out in Los Angeles, who had helped me set up a lot of that, he said, do you mind if I try? And he's a nice guy. He had worked hard on the thing. And I said, no, go for it. So he's the one who actually got it together, and he hired some writers, and lo and behold, there it is on CBS. And I wish him the best. I don't have anything to do with it, but I got no problem with it being on TV.
For you, I mean, you've got this play that starts next week. You've got The Minutes, which will be in the next year's Steppenwolf season. When you talk about these projects and the projects of whether it be an HBO Divorce or whether it be The Lovers, Deborah Winger, or, you know, trying to make a sitcom, right. You have so many things going on. What are the things that you want to do now that you're 51 years old that you haven't been able to do so far?
I don't know that there's anything I want to do that I haven't been able to do so far. I know that the more I do this, the more I really like being a playwright in the room while a new play is being made. I think that's probably my favorite process. It's where I'm most comfortable. So I'm having a great time. I've had a great time putting up Linda Vista. I'm looking forward to The Minutes. And as long as I got stories to tell and people want to come to the theater to hear them, you know, I'll keep writing them.
Do you feel, it's interesting, you know, I think about actors and playwrights, especially award winners. You think that, you know, Tracy Letts, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. There's a lot of rejection, even in the business of being in a position where you have, you know, had such success. How do you sort of navigate that? The idea that it isn't just sort of pie in the sky, easy street for Tracy Letts, even though you've had so much success in the past.
Well, it would be churlish of me to complain at all about anything, because I've been given a lot of opportunities and I feel very, very lucky. Rejection's a part of this business. It's a big part of the business. And truth is, if you can't toughen up to it, you're out of the business a lot earlier than where I am right now. I mean, I never made any money in this business until I was in my 40s, until August Osage County. So, and that's all right, because I was loving what I was doing. I was loving making theater here in Chicago. I've always loved it. So, and I've gotten to travel places and meet fantastic people, and I love my work. So that was never a problem for me. So, yeah, I mean, rejection, it's just part of the job description.
Tracy Letts, playwright, actor, award winner. His play, Linda Vista, is starting previews next Thursday. It'll be on stage at the Steppenwolf through May 21st. Tracy Letts, thanks so much for being my guest tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin.